Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast number 1122. The topic is Q&A and the title is Nutrition and Training Before a Contest Prep Diet. Now, what in the world am I talking about? So we had a listener send in, and the summary of it all was they want to do well in an upcoming aesthetic competition. So they're going to get on stage and, you know, show off their muscles and, you know, leanness and all the good stuff that we see on stage when people do bodybuilding shows and physique and bikini and wellness and men's physique and classic physique and all the things. So all the categories. So they're getting ready for one of those competitions, and they want to do very well. They've competed before. I think they said twice. They competed twice before, but they want to make this kind of like a more serious thing. They want to crush this one, get to maybe like a national level event, see if they have what it takes to get a pro card. So I've helped people earn pro cards in both drug tested and non-tested organizations. So I do have some familiarity with this. So I'm glad they reached out and asked. So what they wanted to do was they felt like they went into their last preps feeling like they had to like really kind of tear the body down, and they felt like they were kind of in a rush to get through. They underestimated, in a sense, how much muscle they had and how much fat they had. So they thought they were leaner than what they really were. As they went through the diet prep, they realized, holy crap, I've got a long way to go. And it led to no food, tons of cardio. They were able to get on stage, but they looked kind of strung out. They didn't look like dry and lean, and they just felt like crap, and it was miserable. So they wanted to kind of learn how to do it in a better way. So what we were talking about was what they can do to get ready for the contest prep diet. So not just like the 16 weeks before the contest that people diet, how do they get ready before those weeks so the diet goes as best as possible? Now, this is a really cool question, because a lot of times people reach out and they tell me, hey, you know, I want to do a contest. Would you help me with my prep? I have 16 weeks. And I'm like, ah, freaking crap. Like, I'll say yes, because I want to help you and I want you to do well. But at the same time, as 16 weeks means we're already rushing. We're already in a hurry. And it would be nice when I have the opportunities to work with people ahead of that. So I've helped people do multiple competitions, and which is really great, because if they do the first one, even if they give me short notice, they're going to get pretty good results compared to what they could have done on their own, of course. And kind of, you know, it kind of gets that fire under their belly to maybe do a little bit better next time. So then when I get them for the second and third shows, we do amazingly better because I can prep them and, you know, get everything ready before the diet. So this person was asking, what would I do to get an athlete ready before we would start to diet for competition? Awesome. Essentially, what you want to do is establish consistency habits and then prep the body. So I want to kind of break that down. But what we're trying to do is we're trying to get the body ready for the diet. And then we're also trying to get ourselves ready for the diet. We have to get our lifestyle in check. We have to get our decision-making in check. We have to start to develop consistency in our habits now, rather than waiting until I want to start the diet and all of a sudden, you know, meal times have to be more precise. Calorie counts have to be more precise. Food selection has to be more precise. Why wait until every decision matters to learn how to make the right decisions? So we want to develop our decision ability, our way to do the right things, even when we don't want to do it, even when it's hard to do it. We have to develop that ahead of the diet. So not only do you need a great training plan, a great nutrition plan, you need the ability to implement them. Doesn't do us any good if the best habits are on paper, not showing up in our lives. So that's definitely something we want to look at. And then by prepping the body, we're talking about that here, like deeper detail here in a second. But in a sense, that's going to be make sure that your body feels good and it's ready to go. So let's look at the first thing, nutrition. We want to establish consistency habits. And part of what is going to make a diet, a nutrition aspect, you know, of contest prep, the diet part of it, go well and lead to the best results is caloric distribution throughout the day needs to be precise and on point. You can't eat nothing all day and eat all your calories at night. You can control body weight that way, but you can't look your best that way. So things like intermittent fasting, they help you control body weight. And if you're already naturally a lean person, maybe it helps you lose, you know, a couple percentages of fat and you have six-pack abs and you look great. But if you're, you know, 25, 30% body fat or more, you know, intermittent fasting can get you some results. It can help you lose weight. But eventually, if you want to peak the conditioning to where I look as lean as possible with as much muscle as possible, you have to distribute your calories to match your activity level of the day. So I can't be all active all day and then eat all of my food at night. That does not lead to the best looking aesthetic. Not. If it did, the people on the planet who are most concerned with aesthetics would all be doing that. They don't. So if you look at the majority of like kind of bodybuilders, bikini athletes, wellness, figure, fitness, physique, classic physique, the majority of the aesthetic based athletes, the majority of them eat consistently throughout the day. They eat small meals that match their activity demands, and that's what they do. That's what the majority of them do. Can you find somebody who doesn't? Sure. I have no doubt. And I'm well aware of some who don't follow that pattern. But if you were to look at 100 of those athletes, probably 90 of them are doing it a certain way. The reason why the other 10 get away with it, because they have some genetic anomaly or some oddity to them to where it works for them. But it will not work for most people. For most people, you have to eat a little bit before you're active. You have to eat enough food to match your activity and then eat less as you're less active. So you need to start the day by eating more and the day by eating less. If you get that correct, you can have a higher body weight, higher muscle tissue with less body fat and less water retention. So you have to learn how to fit breakfast in even when you're busy. So even if you wake up late or you're super busy because you have an early appointment, you still have to eat. So you have to learn kind of sit-down breakfast options. You have to learn quick breakfast options. And not ones that just meet your calories, but ones that meet your calories while meeting your protein demand, while matching the energy use of the kind of nutrient need that you need. So, for example, we get energy from fats and carbs. Fats best fuel slow, sustained energy. Carbs best fuel when I need energy now. So if I'm running out the door because I'm late to work, but at work I sit on my butt and do nothing, I need to eat more fats than carbs because that better matches my activity. Therefore, I will have a leaner, more muscular physique. These are all very small nuances. And you could say, what does that matter? Well, maybe it doesn't matter one meal a week. But if you add that up over 4 weeks, 8 weeks, 12 weeks, 16 weeks, it starts to matter. 1% every day matters when the days add up. So we want to be aware of that. So not only do I have to know, like, okay, I can't skip a meal. I've got to eat. I can't just eat anything. I have to eat the right things. So you have to find quick options, sit-down options. You have to find, like, multiple options. You're going to get tired of eating the same damn breakfast every day. That's human nature. You're not going to want to eat eggs every damn day for 24 weeks. I promise you won't. So you'll want to say, okay, what can I have instead of eggs? You got to figure that out before you get into a contest prep diet. You can't figure that out halfway through because then all of a sudden you're messing up some meals and you're missing some details. So we have to get all these habits established before we diet. So we have to get used to within each day, management of our food intake. Then you have to learn caloric consistency throughout the week. So we need caloric distribution throughout the day. We need caloric consistency throughout the week from day to day. So if I'm supposed to end the week at, say, 1,450 calorie weekly average, so 1,450, meaning maybe on some training days I only eat 1,300, on some training days non-training days I eat 1,300, on training days I eat 1,600, and maybe that averages me out to 1,450. Well, I have to learn how to do that. I have to learn how to manage the day-to-day. So if I'm super busy one day and I was like, hey, you know what, I plan to work out today, I started eating as if it was a 1,600 calorie day, but oh crap, you know, life got in the way. I'm not gonna be able to get that workout in. I gotta bring that calories down the rest of the day while still meeting my protein demand so I can end this day at a proper caloric range since I didn't exercise. So you have to learn how to navigate within the day challenges to match day to day to match your caloric average per week. The goal is to eat as many calories as possible without adding body weight for kind of like 4 to 8 weeks before you start your diet. So 4 to 8 weeks before the diet is not a best time to try to add a bunch of size. People try to do this, like, let me gain 16 pounds in the next 8 weeks, and then I'll take that all back off right away. Well, it won't stay. It will not stay. There's a term called a set point, and if you don't know what that is, Google it and read more about it, because I'm about to go a quick version of it. But our body has a set point, which means when I'm not paying attention to my habits, and I'm not purposely under-eating consistently, I'm not purposely overeating consistently, I'm just kind of eating however I feel like, our body likes to hold at a certain weight, homeostasis. It wants to just stay at a certain weight. For me to push that body weight up So if I want to weigh 10 more pounds, that represents work my body has to do. It has to get to the 10 pounds heavier by adding more work to build the muscle tissue, to do all this stuff that it doesn't want to have to do, but it'll eventually do it. If you do make it do the work and it gets there, but then you immediately back down, all that's really kind of lost. It doesn't create a set point. I want to give you just a goofy example that'll make the point across, and there is science behind what I'm about to say, but just easy to understand. Let's say you're in college, and you're taking some classes here and there. You're kind of working part-time, maybe 12 hours a week. And you're like, oh, man, I am so busy. I am so stressed. This is the most I could ever handle. Now, I have taken 20 credits, you know, and worked part-time when I was in college, so I do understand it is stressful. But then all of a sudden, when you're out of college, all of a sudden you get a job that's supposed to be 40 hours a week, but it's salary, so they actually make you do 50 hours a week. And now all of a sudden, you have to get used to 50 hours a week. Let's say that you went from part-time work, 12 hours a week, and you just got thrown into 50 hours a week. But let's say you only had to do that 1 week, and then you went right back to 12 hours. Well, the 1 week that you had to do 50 hours, you're gonna survive it. You're gonna do whatever you have to do. But you wouldn't have created the system. It wouldn't have become your new norm. You have to do the 50-hour weeks for a couple weeks in a row, maybe 6 months, for you to figure out your system and have that start to feel like the normal for you. And then if you went down to 12 weeks, you'd be like, holy crap, this feels like a vacation. Feels like I'm doing nothing. So there is a time period where when we establish new habits, they have to be consistent and stay for that to become the new norm. If you try to gain a bunch of weight right before you start to diet, the body hasn't established that new norm, and that weight will come right back off, and it will not have really made a permanent effect. So the 4 to 8 weeks before you start a contest prep diet, it's actually best to just try to hold your weight steady. The underlying aspect of all this that I'm going to have to kind of like go quickly through, well, I'll just kind of like brush over, and you'll understand here in a second, is what it does is it establishes a consistency for me to then make the change from. So like we said, if I was consistent at 50 hours a week for 6 months, and then you took me back down to 12 hours a week, I used to feel stressed at 12 hours a week, but all of a sudden now at 12 hours a week feels like a freaking vacation, okay? Well, if I force my body to hold my body weight and I feed it more calories, I add more activity. We're talking about training here in a second. I eat more food. I add more activity. I eat more food. I add more activity. Our body's like, this is freaking awesome. I'm getting all the food I want. We're not overeating. We're not trying to let the body weight go up. We're not making it do work. We're just saying, hey, live super healthy, super comfortable. I want you to feel fully fed. All your needs are met, body. You're going to feel amazing. So we let it feel amazing for 4 to 8 weeks. And I'll tell you here in a second how to decide between that. But for 4 to 8 weeks, for a month or two, we just let the body get happy. We let it say, man, this is freaking awesome. I feel so wonderful. And then when we're ready, we kick the legs out from under the body and we start pulling the calories down, but we don't reduce the training volume. We don't reduce the activity, the caloric usage. All of a sudden, the body says, oh, shit, what happened? What happened? What happened? And it's like if we were to start to fall back in our chair, we start grabbing for anything and everything that we can find to grab to find balance. Well, if we start pulling the calories, increasing the activity, and we start modifying what we do when the body was previously comfortable, it will chase after us as we make our adaptations. As it chases, it'll lose some body fat because it's trying to catch up. We make more changes, it loses some body fat because it's trying to catch up. So you take it the whole way into the show where it's chasing after you trying to catch up. It has to be in a super comfortable, super healthy, happy state for us to then shock it and have it chase after us. So you want to establish this wonderfully comfortable, full-fed, amazing feeling, and then start to modify what you do. Now, I have helped people do competitions and actually earn a pro card where they never reduce their calories a single day, during a single stage. So we did 16 weeks of prep, and they never reduced their calories. We just slowly increased their activity. What we did was we maximized their muscle-based activity before the prep, and then we started pulling back on the muscle damage, keeping the volume, and then adding quote-unquote free cardio or easy cardio, which is just slow, steady-state stuff. So if we start looking at training now, when we modify our training, so our nutrition is establish healthy habits that allow us to be consistent with caloric distribution per day, like throughout the day, and then caloric consistency throughout the week. We try to eat as many calories as possible while our weight stays still. Okay. Now, training, we want to address nagging injuries. Once you start the contest prep, you're going to start to be in a caloric deficit. Doesn't mean you have to eat less, but it does mean you maybe have to move more. But there is going to be less calories coming in than the activity you're doing in order for us to get body fat off you. So what that means is you're in a caloric deficit. You're using more calories than you're intaking. That is not a time where your body's going to heal injuries very well. So our body has to heal injuries by doing work and adding material, and it's a calorically demanding process. If I don't even have enough calories to maintain my normal activities, my body will put very minimal effort into fixing injuries. So if you have a shoulder that's kind of bugging you before you get into contest prep, that thing's going to bug the hell out of you the whole way through the prep. If your back or your hip or your knee is kind of annoyed, it's going to stay annoyed the whole damn time. So you have to heal nagging injuries before you start your prep. Otherwise, they won't go away, and they can possibly impair the training intensity that you need later on to get leaner. Also, in your training, you want to focus on muscle damage and heavy compound movements, because that's a strength base and a heavy intensity base that you can later swap out intensity for volume by decreasing heavy sets and start using higher reps. That allows you to burn more calories for the exact same amount of time that you're in the gym. So eventually, if I swap out intensity for volume, and there's a steady rate to do that with, you should never just drop intensity completely, but eventually if I start swapping out intensity for volume, I can burn more calories per training session than what I was doing before, but I don't have to be in the gym any longer. So I can burn more calories and help myself get leaner without eating less. Amazing. Then for cardio, you want to avoid quote unquote easy cardio. Don't do a lot of step mill, interval, like ellipticals, treadmills. Don't do a lot of that stuff like when you get like before you get into a prep, because it won't work as much then when you want to use it during the prep. So if I'm already doing 40 minutes of cardio a day, what the hell am I supposed to do when I need to do more cardio to burn more calories? It's not going to work. I'm going to go to 60 minutes, then 80 minutes, then 90 minutes, then 100 minutes. I worked with a lady one time before we ever met. Her trainer had her doing an hour workout and then 3 hours of cardio a day. That trainer's a moron. And it should be, like, he should absolutely, like, be stripped of certification and go be learned. Like, taught. Go be learned. Good Lord. So there's some humbling for me. But that trainer definitely needs to kind of check and see what the hell they're doing. Like, you should not ever have somebody doing an hour workout and then 3 hours of cardio. That's ridiculous. Now, I have actually helped a friend get ready for a competition before, and in order for us to get ready, and when I was younger and still learning how to do this, I did that same stupid stuff. So, like, I don't intend to be on a soapbox when I talk about, like, other trainers' mistakes, or anybody's mistakes whenever I am in my podcast. I'm sure it sounds like that, and I probably am not paying close enough attention to staying humble, but or just staying, like, recognizing that I made the same mistakes too. But I made all those mistakes. I made every single mistake that I've ever tried to correct anybody through in a podcast. I did every dumb thing you could do, and it allowed me to learn that it was dumb and I shouldn't do it. So for a friend, one time we did cardio from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m., and this was for 4 weeks in a row. We did 4 hours of walking on a treadmill at 10% incline at 3.2 miles an hour. 4 hours. You would get off at each hour interval to go pee, and then you'd come right back on the machine. And then we did an hour and a half weight training workout at night. That was stupid, and it was miserable. It was also completely unnecessary. If we had been doing nutrition healthier in the right way, if we had been doing our training healthier in the right way, none of that would have been necessary. That was absolutely unnecessary. So I've helped people get pro cards where they never did more than 20 minutes of cardio at a time. Yes. So as I've learned what to do, I've learned that doing that kind of stuff is stupid. So I've been there, and I encourage you not to do that again. So don't do it that way. You absolutely can do it where you don't need to be on, you know, a step mill, a treadmill, elliptical, or something like that for an hour. Not even an hour, let alone anything longer than that. Golly. So you want to do muscle-based activities. meaning, okay, I'm going to, in order for me to do 10 minutes of cardio, maybe I'm going to do 10 bodyweight squats, 10 reverse lunges, 5 burpees, and try to do that for as many rounds as possible in 10 minutes. You're going to die. You're going to have a heart attack because you're going to be breathing so hard. But what it does is it makes you use your muscles. You have to move your whole body around. It helps you kind of build all the nitty-gritty small spots of supporting joints and all these things. And then whenever your calories are lower and you need to burn calories in order, like through cardio, but you don't have a lot of calories so you don't want to damage the joints and annoy the body, you don't do the bodyweight squats, the burpees, and things like that. You just walk on a treadmill. Way less joint stress. The body gets to be nice and calm as it burns the calories. So again, as your calories go down and you're in a caloric deficit, you have less ability to recover from your training. So you have to make your heavy weights be heavy and then make your cardio be no stress whatsoever, very low recovery demand, so that way you can still get that activity up. So it's very, very important before you even start a contest prep diet that your training has the right structure, that your nutrition has the right structure. So that way when you start your prep, you have this perfect, amazing, wonderful system to then start to work from. Rather than playing catch-up, rather than trying to fix things while you prep, you can just do the prep, and you'll get the best results. So, the question I then get is, how long should I diet before a competition? I'm going to give you a really rough estimate here, and then give you an offer to reach out. So, if I am semi-visible abs, and I have kind of muscle tone throughout my whole body. I have some, you know, spots that I know I have like a little more fat, like maybe pooch in my outer thighs, like pooch in my belly, just a little bit of fat in certain spots. But I can see my muscles, you know, throughout the day. I have semi-visible abs. 12 weeks is plenty of time. You're probably going to do fine dieting for 12 weeks. Now, if you can't quite see your abs, and you don't really have good muscle definition, you can kind of see your muscles like when you work out. And you can see a little bit of striations maybe and stuff. But you're active, you eat well, and you can kind of sort of see some things, but it's not super clean. You can't really see your abs, but you know they're right on the edge of being able to be seen. 16 weeks is probably better. 20 weeks would be good if you can't see muscle tone really at all, but you eat healthy and you already exercise regularly. So you already have like a semi-healthy diet, you're just maybe not super consistent with it, and you already exercise regularly, but maybe you miss a workout here and there. So you don't have great muscle tone, but you already have good eating habits in place, and you already have training as a regular way of life, 20 weeks is probably okay. Now, if you can't see any muscle tone, and you haven't been eating in a healthy manner, or in a consistent manner, or in a structured manner at all, and you don't really train on a regular basis, do not diet for a show. Don't do that. Cut that into stages. You know, take 8 weeks to try to establish healthy habits. Take 8 weeks to see if you can get things, you know, consistent. Then maybe you push for 8 weeks to lose 10 pounds, 12 pounds of fat. And then you relax for 4 weeks. Let yourself recover. Let yourself kind of regain some willpower, regain some determination and motivation. Then maybe you diet again for another 8 weeks. You got to cut that into stages. So if you can't see any muscle tone and you don't have healthy habits in place and consistent regular training in place, don't prep for a show. Please don't. You will not be happy with the results. You'll get there and maybe you'll get on stage. And you'll be like, holy freaking crap, I'm so happy I made it. But then you're going to kind of look back at photos and be like, shit, I was really out of shape compared to everybody else, and I wasn't even close to my best. There's going to be a lot of good things you learned in that process, but you're going to want to do it better. So just take the time and learn how to do it better before you even do it, okay? So from those stages, so if you fit into the 12 weeks is enough of a contest prep diet, or 16 or 20, from there, count back another 8 weeks. So if you're like, okay, I have semi-visible abs, I have pretty good muscle tone, I probably can diet down in 12 weeks. Well, then 8 weeks back from that, so at 20 weeks, use that time frame to start to implement the information we talked about today, to establish those consistent habits, to make sure your training is focused on muscle damage, heavy compound movements, muscle-based cardio, not easy cardio like treadmill and elliptical and things like that. So you want to use the information in today's podcast for about 8 weeks before you would then start your dieting stage to get ready for the competition. Cool. So you have to have 8 weeks to kind of prep for your prep, if that makes sense. Now, if you want any help kind of figuring out maybe what your schedule should be, you're like, I don't know. You mentioned 12, 16, and 20. I don't know really where I belong. Send us an email, brutalirongym@gmail.com. If you don't mind, send a photo, like a front relaxed and a backside photo, please wear, you know, reasonable clothes and do normal things. but if you want help, let me know, and I'll be happy to help you have an idea of how long you should kind of diet for. And then I can also help you evaluate areas to focus on. So if you have, you know, really dominant quads but no hamstrings, or you have really crappy upper body posture, I can help you kind of be aware of that and say, hey, during your prep, focus on these areas. And I can give you a couple technique ideas. So if you want any help, email me at brillirongym@gmail.com. I'll answer that for free. If you want me to help you for the contest prep, of course, I'd be happy to help. You know, we can set up a service system where we work together as like an online client or something like that. So I'd be happy to help. A lot of trainers I actually work with, they do the training themselves, and I help them with their nutrition, so we can set up that something like that as well, so we can kind of talk about training, give you some guidelines, and then you do the training on your own, I'll help you with the nutrition. So whatever kind of combination, if you want help with any aspect of it, I'm happy to help. I've even taught my bikini athletes how to pose in high heels before. Yep. So if you want help, I can help. Just let me know. I'm always here and always happy to help. Our email is brillirongym@gmail.com. So thank you for listening to the podcast. I hope this helped answer those questions. Hope it helped kind of give you an idea of what you can do to get ready so that way you can be your best. Cool. Well, if you want any help with anything, if you want to be an online client, help with programming, anything at all, nutrition, training, all the good stuff, just email us at brillirongym@gmail.com. You can also check out our services at our website at www.brillirongym.com. You can see photos of past athletes I've helped and whatnot. Cool. Well, if you like today's podcast in general or this actual podcast, please share the podcast. The more people we share the podcast with, the more people we can help. It's just flat out awesome. If you share the podcast, it's sincerely the best thing you can do because you're going to make a huge difference in someone's life. If they sign into this and they start to learn how to control their nutrition, control their training, control their mindset, they're going to live a healthier and happier life, and it'll be thanks to you. So thank you for those who share the podcast. It means a lot. Thank you to the patrons of the podcast, the people who financially support the podcast through the Podbean platform and through the podcast donation link accessible through our homepage on Instagram. Thank you for those who've been reaching out through that link and donating money. That's freaking awesome. I really appreciate it. The podcast is thousands of dollars a year. We are well in the red when it comes to this podcast, but I'm blessed to be able to have the income to do it where I lose income. So I appreciate just the opportunity to share what I know to the world and share the gifts that have been given to me. I you know, if it costs me some money, oh well. I love it and I'm very blessed. So thank you to the patrons who help kind of curb some of that cost. It's sincerely appreciated. Thank you very much. If you like the information we share in the podcast, you can find more from us on our social media channels on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube under the name Brittle Iron Gym. If you have any questions, feedback, suggestions, anything that you want to know, let us know at our email, brittleirongym@gmail.com. Cool. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.